Some bits I will have the sound on and some bits I won't. Because, believe it or not, some of the sound is not good quality because the PA was a little less to be desired. Right, I can't put scripture on because I can't do two at once. So what I want to speak about today is sowing seeds, sowing God's word. And something that I've not done before when I've come back from Uganda is share videos and stuff that I have. But I want to do it this time because something changed within me. In a natural sense, I did not want to go to Uganda in the sense I don't like flying. People think that I'm quite brash and brave, but I'm not brave at all. I don't like flying. I don't like all the stuff connected to it. I feel uneasy out of my comfort zone. And this year, I was saturated in prayer, and it was a godly thing because I was at peace from the time I left church on the Sunday and travelled down to the airport, stayed in a hotel overnight, went to park and ride, got my baggage put in, got my ticket sorted out on the plane. I didn't even know we'd taken off. I didn't even know we'd landed. It was so smooth. And time seemed to go like that. And it was a long trip going there because we went from London Heathrow to, where was it? We ended up in Gagali. But we had to go to Istanbul first. That was a five-hour journey. Then we had to go from Istanbul to Gagali. That was a long journey. That was 2 hours past Entebbe. And then we had to come back to Entebbe. So it was a long journey. But there was something within me that there was a peace. And that was the seeds of the saints that had been praying for me. And I understand that. And I understand it to be true. And when we landed in Uganda, I was sleep deprived. I don't sleep on the plane and I found it difficult. So when I show you the first video that I'm going to share with you, we ended up in Uganda, in the village, outside the school. And I'm trying to say to church, welcome, this is... And I couldn't remember what date it was. So I kept looking at my watch and I kept looking at the iPad. And I had three takes before I could actually get to the point that I wanted to make. I could get to that position. But I look as if I'm tired, so you're going to need to bear with me. And I'll bring some scripture in and share what God has done in and through you as a church. And one of the things that I want to say right from the get-go is when we look around Grace Community Church, when we think about the past, when we look at what we've done, it's so easy to forget that God has used us. Sometimes when we look at our church and we think we're a small congregation, but God has used us mightily. When we look at the work that he started in and through us 13 years ago in Uganda. When we look at the lives that have been changed. There are people that say these things. Now, please hear my heart on this. This is not about me. It's about us as a church. Something that the Lord spoke to me when I was on the plane, and it was about corporate anointing, and I looked and prayed into that, and it's something that I believe the Lord had given us many years ago. I sat in my living room many moons ago with two men that are present in this room today, and the question was this: did God call you? Yes. Has he called you? Yes. Well, he hasn't changed his mind. Get on and do what he's called you to do. That was many, many years ago. So I believe that there is a corporate anointing. There is something that God wants to do in us. There is
Knowing who you are. How many people know who you are?
Come on.
I know who God say I am. There was someone in prayer, I won't mention who it was, as we was praying before, and they was talking about a label, a negative label that had been given somebody. And the person who was praying said, we know who we are, and we should know who we are. One of the things that I'll remind Emma of, what Joshua always says when I'm with him, he says, Andrew, I remember something you said many years ago, and whenever I'm questioned on my faith, questioned who I am, I tell them, I am justified, sanctified, set apart, going from glory to glory. I'm part of a royal priesthood. I've been adopted into his family. And when we know who we are, we represent a risen God, yes? Someone said to me, I don't know about football coming home, but Jesus is coming to take us home. Amen? See, nothing is wasted, is it? We can use everything. In Mark 10, it says this, Jesus called them together. They're the disciples, those that were close to him. You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. They try and rule. The high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And when we was over in Uganda, Bishop Valley and Ken would preach. I had the opportunity to preach, and so did Sam Welly, who came along. We had the opportunity to share God's word. But just going on what Bishop was saying, time and time again, he would say, we are servants of God. We've not come to be served by you, but to serve you. We're here because we want to be, that we want to sow into Uganda. We want to see Uganda become all that Uganda can become. And we're taking our time and our talents and our resources. And that's one of the things as we look about seed time and harvest. We connected with Uganda about 13 years ago. And it has been an interesting journey all the way through what we're doing and what we've seen. And when we're in worship, Bishop would say, I know who I am because I know who he is. And then he'd go, he's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. And he would just leap into this song. I know who I am because I know who he is. And that's a word for me and you. In Luke 12:22, Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you not to worry about your life or what you will eat or your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow, they do not reap, they have no store, they do not store in barns, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? What's the little thing? We can't add time to our lives. We can't add an hour. We know that when we're born, we know that we're dying from that point. That we will die, but we will live because Christ has come to bring us fulfillment. He's come to bring us hope. And when I look through scripture, when I look through what God has done, when I look through how he had enabled me to find that peace in that situation, it might not seem a very big thing to you, but to me it was a big thing. I'm 63 years old. And I have anxiety when it comes to being outside of my comfort zone. But what the Lord will do with us, he will take our weaknesses and he will turn them into his strength. He will enable us to speak. He will enable us to have an understanding. Now, I don't know if you can see this sign, but it says Goshen Christian School. I stood outside of this particular... Now, this is where I look old. This is where I look as if... Well, good morning all. Here I am in Khufu Village. I have to look at my phone to see what day it is because I've had little sleep since I've been here. It's Friday, June the 21st at 10:44, 2024.
I forgot it's 24, I had to think.
As I said, welcome. I just want to start at the entrance of Khufu. Some years ago, this was the spot I stood with a friend of mine, Chris, and we took a video of the village. So we're going to start by turning this round so that you don't have to see my ugly mug.
No amens to that.
This is the sign of Khufu. This is our school in the village. This is part of the wall in which, I don't know if you can remember, but we raised some money through a sponsored walk many years ago to have this acre
cordoned off by a wall, so that at least
we know when our children are in Khufu, in our school grounds, that they're safe. So I'm just going to take my camera and just show you a view of the exterior of our school. I just want to show you the greenery as well, because in amongst the dust, the dirt, the muck and the filth that we may see on our journey, you will see the beauty of God's creation. You know, the truth is, if we stick a seed in the ground and we water it, it will grow. It's just like our Christian faith, isn't it? If we have a seed of faith and we exercise that seed, we allow the Lord to shine upon that seed, it will grow. So I'm going to go into the school complex and I'm going to just do a short video on each and every area that we have so far.
One of the things that I want to say about this wall, and this is a bit different, this message today, because I want us to have an understanding of what difference you've made in the lives of the individuals that we support. That this is far bigger than just 250 children. It's far bigger than just the 15 or so teachers that we support. It's far bigger. It's a wider community. And we don't experience this today, thank the Lord, but when we first went out there, just before we had this wall built, there was a, in the village, it was occultish, it was devil worship, it was the witch doctors, there would be black arts, and there was lots of things going on in a negative sense, and children would be kidnapped, and they would be sold for body parts. I know it sounds gross, but that's the truth of it. And there are some people in this room that understand what I mean by that. They understand the whole voodoo side of things. They understand that out there it was, if you took a child and you sacrificed that child in the foundations of your business would thrive. That was how sick it was. But through your generosity and through your prayers, we have seen lives change, not just the life of these children and those that have gone on to go to university, but the life of the entire village. And at some point, I'm going to share Samuel's story. I sat down with him and asked him to share his life with me, and he agreed to do so.
This is our church building. This was one of the first structures that were put to, well, that was put together, in the sense of there was four pools put in the ground and a tarpaulin, and it came as a church and classroom. So I think you'll see by the end of this video that we've come a long way with help from our partners in Brandon Full Gospel and people, men and women and children like you, who have sold in over the years. We have seen a tremendous transformation, and we trust that the best is yet to come.
Amen. In Luke 8 verse 8, it says, talks about seed. It talks about the parable of the sower, and there's some seed that fell on rocky places where it could not produce root. And then it comes to verse 8, it says, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than that was sown. 100 times more than that was sown. And when we look at what we do in life, there are times that we will sow our physical seed, our time, our talents, our resources, our finances. We'll sow them into someone's life, into a situation, and it won't produce much. In some cases, it may even die because there's no root. But it's good to do good, the Bible says. But when we take the seed that God has given us, whether it's the word of God or it's the finances that we use as this illustration of seed, and we plant it into good soil, it will produce a harvest. And one of the things that I have a privilege of sharing with us as a church is that the seed that's been sown over the years has produced a hundredfold harvest. It has produced a difference, not just in structure, but in spiritual temperature throughout this project. So this is, as I say, on many of
this particular structure that we have in front of us, it started off as classrooms, and now it's developed into accommodation for some of our teachers. As you can see and appreciate, it's not of a large scale. They're very small rooms, but they are much appreciated.
So as I said in my previous short video,
this is a work in progress, and we are blessed, and we are being a blessing to others. But make no mistake,
it's not that we just give; we actually also receive, because we receive the prayers of the saints.
It's not the best quality, but you'll get enough.
The structure that you see in front of you now—that's our kitchen. Now we cook. On wood, you can see the smoke that's coming up. And also, because of the bio-loo that was installed some years ago, it's now been fit for purpose. So I'm led to believe that we have gas now, which is produced by the bio-loos. You understand how a bio-loo works. If not, then Google it. I don't want to explain it on this particular video. But this building here started off... with no structure to it at all, in the sense that it was just a foundation and we was cooking outside. Now, as we go forward, we have the opportunity to not just cook on wood and charcoal, but to be able to cook using the gas that's being produced through those bio-loos. So as I said before, this is a work in progress, but it's a good news story, and the Lord is faithful.
He is faithful. And in John 6:35, Jesus says, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" And when we look at the things we provide in the natural, we may feed somebody naturally. We may feed them, we may give them water naturally. But when we look at what's happening here in Khufu village, when we look at what's happening in the confines of this wall and the surrounding areas that we've had the privilege of sowing into, not only do we see a natural food, natural water, but we see spiritual bread, spiritual water. There's a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. You know, when we give, the Bible says he will enlarge the provision of our righteousness, our right standing with him. So when we look at what God is doing in Uganda here, just through two churches and partners and businesses around that others have got involved over the years, through sponsorship, through prayer and diligence, through men and women saying, "I want to do something." I want to show you that what you've sown over the years and what we've sown, there's been men and women that have come into this church and they've gone out of this church, but they're part of this foundation of what we see here in Uganda. We're giving natural and spiritual food and water.
This building that you see, you will see in a moment when I turn the camera around, is a building that eventually will be a two-story building. It's a skills centre. On the bottom floor, we already have sewing machines, and we will at some point have a training center upstairs and the machines downstairs. So as you can see, I keep repeating myself, but this is a good news story, and you will see the goodness of the Lord.
As you can see, this particular building, the ground floor has been virtually finished. It's fit for purpose in the sense that inside is clean, is solid, it's ready to be painted and finished, detailed. And we already have some machines inside. Upstairs, you can see there's bits of metal sticking out of the roof. Well, that's to start the second phase at some point when resources are available. I want to show you every aspect of what we're doing here. So it might seem like just a pile of wood, and it is a pile of wood, which is true, but that's what we're going to be using to cook on when we don't have gas. As I turn the camera around, you'll see there's a concrete slab in front of you, and underneath that concrete slab is the bio-loo. That's where all the waste produce from the toilet block, which you can see behind it, goes into that biomass complex, on how it works, I'm not quite sure, but I'm sure that all the stuff is collected in there, gas is produced, the gas then goes to use for cooking. But behind us with those bio-loos, they're split into two. So the back end are the traditional long drops, but there is water available, they're clean. When I say a long drop, it's a hole in the ground. And then the doors in front of you, they're more like Western loos, in the sense of they're for us and our visitors and for the teachers. You can already see the outside taps there. So So this is a project that actually makes a massive difference. What it does is it keeps this site clean. All the waste we used when we first started, there'll be video available, you can see it somewhere on Care for Khufu. It was just one small building, one small structure, should I say, with a hole in the ground, and it was not hygienic whatsoever. So we've come a long way in a few years, as I'm sure you will agree.
We've come a long way in a few years, and God has been gracious. And one of the things that we can use and take from this is that if God starts a work in your life, we need to believe he'll complete it. Has God given you a promise? Then if God's given you a promise, he will bring it to pass. There is seed, there is time, and there is harvest. When we look in Isaiah 55, I want to start from verse 10. It says, as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven, and it does not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Seed for the sower and bread for the eater. And when we look at that portion of scripture, there is seed that you can sow and there is bread that you can eat. So in our lives, there are times that we can sow seed into other people's life. It may be financial seed. It may be prayer. It may be our presence. But there's also bread that God gives us to eat. You see, for me, I'm a firm believer that if we haven't got it, we can't give it. You see, God wants to bless his people. I'm not one of these people. I may have got scripture wrong, but I'm not one of these pastors that believe in poverty. I believe that God wants to prosper, yes, in the right sense of that word, prosperity. Nothing broken, nothing missing. There are very many rich people that are going to hell. There are many poor people that are going to heaven. But God wants us to give to those that have less than us. He wants us to have it so that we can give it to others. He wants to have a prayer life that we can pray and intercede for other people. He wants us to be encouragers. Yes, he wants us to speak the truth. If someone's heading towards a chasm and they're going to fall and be destroyed, he wants us to tell them that. But he also wants us to encourage people that on their journey, trust God. If he's given you a word, it will come through to fruition. So is my word, it says, that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which it was sent. So without my words, they're his words. Throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the Lord's mouth. Has the Lord spoken to you? Has he spoken to me? As I said many years ago, I'm standing here, I used to be 6'6". Ministry's worn me down. But I'm standing here not because I'm anything special, but because God said, and because God said, and I believed it, and when I didn't believe it, there was men and women around me that would say, did God say? Well, then believe it, trust him. There was a time where I was shrinking back and others were lifting up my arms, as that hymn said. There are times that we go through the valley, but we don't stay in the valley. And men and women in this village were praying for a miracle, but they didn't see it. But they kept on praying. Samuel, when you meet him, he is a lovely man. He is a godly man. He's a man that has passion and vision. And God spoke into his heart 14 years ago and said, take back the village. Take back the village. Start to plant something. Start to see something happen. And that's the same as me and you. God planted a seed in your life. He wants to water it. He wants to see it germinate. He wants to see it produce 30, 60, 100 fold. Why? Because it's sown into good soil. See, if you're a Christian today, you are good soil. You are good soil. And God wants to encourage you afresh, I believe.
Okay, this is chicks that we are fattening up, ready to go into the main structure that you'll see later. I'll just put my camera in here. You can see where they are. And these chicks are being fed on maggots that have been produced by this lady, Maria. She's an entrepreneur in one sense, because it was part of her vision and part of what she's doing.
She's 15 years old. She's a student that's come right through the school. And she said to Samuel, I can help. I'm going to produce these maggots in order to feed these chicks. She's going to be sent off to university Samuel, the project is going to pay for her education. She's going to do a degree in accountancy, and then she's going to come back in 2 to 3 years' time, and she's going to run the microbank that we have on site. Now, the microbank was a bank that they would give microloans out to village people. And during COVID, the lady that was taking care of the bank had totally stripped all their assets. They said to the village people, don't worry about any interest, just give me what you can. And they gave her what they could, and she just disappeared. Was Samuel bitter? No. He's just got himself up, dusted himself up, and gone, right, we need to raise a godly woman in order to take on this godly project. And this is that woman. And she was just oozing confidence.
She hatches all these maggots out, and these maggots are the protein for these chicks. So they're going to be well fed. Is that right, Maria? Say hello to our church.
Hey, hello.
Such a inspiration she was.
Say hello. This building here is split in two. Basically, it used to be classrooms, but now we're using it for something completely different.
I'm just going to focus my camera
while I'm speaking. So the back end, the end on the right hand side of what you can see is a classroom and an office. And as we look at this building here, you'll see that there's a young girl already getting water out of a tap. Now, inside here, it's locked because inside here is a purification unit. Sometime, you know, during COVID and particularly last year, there was a problem with the fresh water. The water that comes from the well and goes underground was getting contaminated. So what we've done is, through generous support from yourselves and our partners in Brandon, we raised some funds and we bought a purification unit. So all the water now that comes out of those two taps are clean. It's clean enough to drink, even ourselves is clean enough to drink. So there again, it just shows the resolve of the people here, that when there's a problem, they fix the problem. Now we come to an exciting part of this project. These are our classrooms. As you can see, when you look in front, when you look at the picture at the moment, there's vegetation, there's painted brickwork, there's even block work on the floor. And these classrooms, I can't even start to explain what was here before. It was just a ramshackle mess. In front of you, you will see that there's two raised areas on the floor. Underneath there is an underground tank. It's an underground water tank. So all the water that comes off of these roofs is not wasted. It's put down into a man-made well. And then we can draw from that. So when the main well that we dug, and I'll show you where that is in a moment, when that runs dry, when there's a real dry season, we've still got access to fresh water, or water that can be pumped into the purifier and used in the school for our children.
I think the children were programmed. Every time somebody with my colour skin walked into the room, they stood up and they would say, welcome to our visitors. I think they were scripted. But
three.
Hello, Grace.
Hello, Grace. We have a number of classrooms.
Okay, count to three and smile.
Projects. There's an excitement when you go into school. There's a real excitement, and you can see that God has been working over the months, the years. He's been sowing seeds of faith into these young people's lives. You see, it's not just a school, it's also a church. And you will see, as we go through some of these pictures and videos, you will see the work in progress. You'll see what the Lord has done in and through you and myself and our partners. Now, this is a dormitory. I poked my head through here and I felt, just bear with me here, I felt this time when I was taking videos, I felt uncomfortable because I felt that I was intruding on other people's lives. I felt that I was intruding on some of their pain. And when I went through down the roads and you saw the stuff on the side of the road. I stopped filming because I felt uncomfortable. But when we're in this particular project, I don't feel uncomfortable because I know we're making a difference. Now, you can see there's beds and nets. And we have a number of children that stay on site. And I said to Samuel, so are we a boarding school now? And he just chuckles. He says, well, these were left on our doorstep, and what can we do? These were children that were just left, and the parents couldn't look after them. He said, so we took them in.
This is Fred Mother's sixth class. Our class teacher is Teacher Solomon. Our class motto is believing in God we overcome. You are most welcome.
Oh man, like I said, I think it was scripted. But as you can see here, this is a good news story because these classrooms weren't here some years ago. And where the blue is, we as a church, we sponsored the building of that particular block there. And it used to be a centre for girls that had left school, got pregnant and had no hope. And so we raised some finances and we built this part of the school. And they came and they got their education with their children being looked after at the same time. These are things that we don't get to talk about very often, and I haven't done over the years. And I felt it was good to share the goodness of God. And I know it's a different message, but it's a message of hope. It's a message that we can make a difference. It's a message that you don't understand some of the things you've done over the years, some of the prayers you've prayed over the years, when you've given finances into sponsorship or one-off events. People that are here in this room and those that walked with us and no longer in this church, they have sown into this project and they've seen a harvest. And it is a good news story. It is something that we can be proud of in the right sense of the word.
Now, this building that you see in front of you is what we class as our visitor centre. Now, it's doubled up at the moment as accommodation and somewhere for us to be able to sit and have some food when we come. But the purpose of this building is to produce some dormitories with, when I say a level of comfort, you will understand what I mean, Western loos and clean environment. So that if anybody wanted to come out and actually stay in this school complex and spend a few days actually on site, getting to know the teachers, getting to know about the culture and the way things work, they can actually stay here. It's a safe environment. It's an environment which I know that if anyone does decide to come out here, they will be blessed. Now, make no mistake, it's not the home comforts that you would expect, but it is a work in progress. I'm just going to walk forward. In front of you, you can see, you know, remnants or the wall that we spoke about at the beginning of this video. But I'm just going to walk around rather than switch off and switch back on again. So it's one continuous video here and just show you the entrance to the visitor centre. I'm not going to show you around it, but it is... It is a lovely structure. It's a structure that came about because Gen and Val Stroud felt it was important to have somewhere on site where visitors could come and experience what's happening in school life. In front of us is a particular part of the school life that I'm proud of in the right sense of being proud. Many years ago, we felt it necessary to dig a well so that this school could have access to clean water. And behind those trees and bushes is that said well. And as I turn my camera around, you'll see that there is a tank put up there, and the water is pumped up to that tank, and then gravity does its work. So that particular well that I was telling you about, I was reminded by Pastor Samuel when we got here, because one of the statements he said to the children and the teachers was, do you enjoy the water that we have on site? And of course they said yes. And then he pointed to me and said, Andrew helped not just to pay for that, but to, not my money, it was the money of the generosity of Grace Community Church. But Andrew not only paid for it, but he went down that well several hundred feet to help dig it out. And I did. And I remember I got down the well thinking that there was a ladder or something, some kind of structure to get out, but there wasn't. So as I got faint and my legs started to turn to jelly, I thought, well, how am I going to get out of here? And the only way I could do it was for them to drop a thin rope, which I then placed under my arms and put my legs one on each side and tried to crawl my way out while they took the tension of my body. So I am particularly connected to this water treatment plant in this particular school. So as you can see, as we've gone around, we're putting in place the tools to help these individuals look after themselves.
When you know, have you ever heard the saying, be careful what you pray for? Be careful when you say something. You know, like you could say something like, someone ought to do something about that. And then the Lord says, you do it. And you go, no, someone else ought to do something about that. We got on site and we'd sent the money over to have this well dug. And they'd got down several feet and they stopped work. And I got on site with Ken and the rest of the team and said, what's happening? And they said, oh, they've hit flint. They're saying they can't dig no further. It's too hard. And I looked at the piles of debris on the side. It wasn't what they said, it's what I saw. And I saw a big pile of clean flint and a big pile of dirt. And they didn't add up. And I said, no, I don't think they're telling the truth. So someone said, well, how are we going to find out? And I said, someone ought to go down there and have a look. And then, of course, I'm going down there. And when you look down this well, there's little hand and foot bits cut out, so you kind of walk down like this. I thought, how hard can it be? So I got down about 50 feet and then there was nothing. So I'm sliding down on my hands and feet, got to the bottom, and sure enough, there was no flint. So they sent a bucket down and I dug some out, and my legs turned to jelly. And then I'm thinking, how am I going to get out? And they nearly cut me in two. But so I'm connected to what's happening here. But the moral of the story is, be careful what you pray for. Be careful what you ask, because God might say, you do it. Someone ought to give to them so they can do such and such. Well, you give. Someone ought to. That's why we should be careful what we pray for. Many years ago, I remember praying this prayer as a young Christian. And I said, Lord, I want to see with your eyes. I want to feel with your heart. And I've been crying ever since. It's dangerous sometimes to pray those prayers. It's dangerous to say, Lord, open my eyes, because when he does, we need to be obedient. And this is a project that many years ago, Ken visited me in the classrooms and said, Andrew, would you like to get involved? And at that time, I was speaking on behalf of the rest of the church as senior leader. And I said, I'd like us to do something and do it well. Rather than getting involved in 10, 12 different small things, I'd like us to do one thing as a church and do it well. And I hope that at the end of this video, you'll see that Grace Community Church has done this well. They have sold their time and their talents and their resources. We have been part of this. And this is not to be boastful. This is to say, look what the Lord has done through us. Look what he has done through our generosity. Look what can be accomplished when we come together. When we look through scripture, in the negative, they were building the Tower of Babel. You know that story? And the Trinity, the Lord says, there's nothing that they cannot do if they come together and speak as one voice. So we're going to spread them out. That was a negative. Take that in the positive. If we come together and we speak the same language, we have a common purpose, we all get hold of the rope and we all pull at the same time, we all dig the same hole, we all provide for the same circumstances. There's nothing that God can't do if he's in the middle of it. So in your lives, personalize it. Has God said it? Then he'll bring it to pass. Seed time and harvest. Remember, there's a seed that's sown, there's time, and then there's a harvest. You know, I know that Emma likes to grow things, but she puts a potato in the ground. She doesn't go the next day and say, Nigel, can you dig that potato up to see if we've got anything? Because you'll only have one potato, won't you? But if you leave it, the miracle is get Nigel to dig it up. The thing is the time. We need time. And what we've seen is over the 13 years that we've prayed for this project, we've sowed the seeds and we've seen what God has done.
I want to draw your attention to the structure that's in front of us. Don't look at the buildings, but look at that tower with speakers on the top of it. Now, each morning, somebody from this particular school, it's either Samuel or one of the teachers, early hours of the morning, I don't know if it's 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, they preach the gospel. They call the men of the village to get up and to provide for their families, to go to work, to earn an honest living, and they share God's word, God's love. And the range for these speakers, I just find them incredible. They reach up to 6,000 residents. So what an awesome thing for them to do. Not only are they sharing the good news of the generosity of God with this school and villages around them, they're sharing the good news of the gospel with many people around the area.
I had an interview with Samuel and we were talking about this mass, and he said, no, it's a mistake. We don't reach 6,000 people. We reach 10,000 families. So when we look at what we're giving in finances and time and resources, we're not just building structure, we're building kingdom. There's 10,000 families being reached. And what he says to the, you'll understand as we listen to his story another time, that he's saying to the men of the village, get up and go to work. Because many of the men were just high on worridge, which is alcohol. Most of those plantations are gone now from the village, but at the time of this being erected, there were men that would just allow their wives to go to work and their grandmothers to go to work, and they would just sit at home and stew. Where Samuel has not just preached the gospel in the church, he's took the church out to the community. So I want to share that because it's not just about the bricks and mortar, it's not just about these trees that you see in the distance, it's not just about the small lives that have been transformed, it's about those lives that have been transformed by the word of God. You see, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the Lord, and that word is preached on a regular basis every morning.
Now, this structure in front of us that you're looking at the moment is the medical centre for this school and this village. I can't tell you how important this structure is going to be for the future development of these people. Through the generosity of Grace Community Church and partners, we was able to build this structure to what you see today. And our vision going forward is to equip it with a full-time nurse and an occasional doctor, and equipped for births and anything that may arise. I want to say a special thank you to Janet, if you get the opportunity, Janet, to listen to this, because you was one of the main sponsors of this structure. And I pray that God will richly bless you. So Grace Community Church, as you're looking at this building is part of the future of this village. Because when it comes to medication, there isn't any. When it comes to doctors, nurses, midwives, opticians, dentists, there isn't any. So for this structure to be birthed and to be paid for by yourselves is a blessing. Not only a blessing to me, because I am humbled when I stand in front of this building. It's the first time that I've seen it since it was completed to this stage, because I haven't been for a few years due to COVID. I'm humbled by your generosity. I'm humbled by the grace of God. And going forward, I trust that we will be able to continue our partnership and see this become all that it can become. And the next time that I visit or someone else visits, we'll be able to do an internal tour of this place, this facility. And you'll be able to see firsthand what it means to this community. So once again, Grace, thank you.
That is an awesome structure.
Now, this structure is, but it will become.
I'm going to finish it there because of time. But what I want to say to us as a church is, let's be forever listening to what God says. I was in the village some years ago and I spoke to some ladies who are in their 80s and 90s. And I said to them, if you could have one thing, if there could be one thing that I could pray for, what would it be? And this mature lady says, medication. Somewhere where we can come and receive the natural healing. We have the spiritual healing. There is a need for there to be some kind of medical facility. And you know when something touches your heart and it ignites something? You know, sometimes you think that's a good idea, and other times there's inspiration, something that really resonates. And there was something going on in my mind, and I remember saying to Ken, I want our church to build a medical center. He said, yeah, well, you know, we could put a small structure up. And I said, no, you misunderstand me. I want it to be fit for purpose. I want it to serve these 600 residents or beyond. I want it to be fit for purpose. He said, well, that will cost a large amount of money. I said, well, it's not our money, is it? It's the Lord's. And if God is in it, he'll do it. And I remember saying to Samuel, would you do some plans? And I want you to price up, just putting the structure up and putting the roof on. Would you price it for me? And I came to Susan and I gave her a figure of £15,000. And I said, I think that will cost £15,000. That's the price that the Lord has put on my heart. And I shared it with Ken and he said, no, it won't cost that much. He said, we're talking about Uganda, maybe 5 or 6,000. Well, Samuel came back that week with a figure, and the figure was £14,895 plus change. So maybe God was in this. And within 2 weeks, the money had been raised by this church. And we sent over just under £20,000. Now, don't say that to be boastful. I say that because I'm a proud father. Somebody, father of the house, who says, the Lord has spoken to me. I'm sharing that vision with you. God had already sowed a seed in someone else's heart, and that provision was provided for. You see, when God says it, he will bring it through, won't he? But here's the thing, has God said it? So as we move forward as a church, as we move forward into the plans and purposes that he has for us.
As you can see, there's quite a large structure in front of you with a tin roof. Now that structure is on two levels. On the top, apparently, that will be filled with the chickens that you saw earlier. And then on the bottom, that's where we have the goats. And apparently it works very, very well. And we've already produced our first lot of chickens, which have been sold on as a cash crop. And we have the second lot being fattened up, as you saw in a previous video. So I have to give it to them. Apparently this particular style of structure is very... what's the word I'm going to use? Very successful, because when it comes to disease, some years ago when we came here, we had our pigs wiped out because of disease, and something like £10,000 worth of in money gone overnight. So when it comes to disease for chickens and goats alike, because the chickens are up high, they don't succumb to the ground disease. So that's why this structure is important, and that's why it works.
There's so much to share, and I'd encourage anyone who's thinking about coming out to come out and experience for themselves. Hopefully this year we'll put together some finances and we'll get some resources on site so we can do some practical work. But I'm going to leave you with this. I'm going to leave you with this portion of scripture in Galatians 6 verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good. You know, it's good to do good because it's good to do, isn't it? Let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, there's times where we as a church could have given up on this village, could have given up on this community, saying, look, we're just throwing money after money after money. It's costing tens of thousands of pounds in sponsorship and in one-off donations. But when we go over, we can see that this financial seed has been sown into good soil, is producing a harvest. 100-fold. It's producing a harvest of righteousness. People are becoming to know who Jesus was. When I was there, I had the opportunity to preach. There was four children gave their lives to the Lord while I was in two sermons. There was men and women that would come forward for prayer. There was one lady, she had malaria. And she was sweating all over. And you just pray, don't you? Just go, Lord, you do something. And God did something. You see, God is doing amazing things in us and in other people around the world. And we have a privilege to be able to preach the gospel around the world. See, these men and women are praying for us as we are praying for them. Do not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You know, God wants us to bless all people, but especially those that belong to him. So often we find it, I'm not saying us here, but as Christians, we find it easy to give to the need. But there's a time where God says, I haven't called you to give to needy soil, but sow into good soil. So we can take what God has given us. We can meet the need, but we can also see the harvest. Let's finish in prayer. I'm sorry I've taken up a lot of your time, but I wanted to share this with us, God's goodness and his grace, and that the seed, time, and harvest. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that nothing is wasted. We thank you for the men and women over the years that have sown into this project to change lives of hundreds, if not thousands, of people. We thank you for the opportunity to sow spiritual and natural seed. We look forward to that spiritual and natural harvest. Father God, we pray that you would bless us so that we may be a continued blessing. We pray, Father God, that you would take the words that have been sown into Khufu, the spiritual word, and you'd produce that spiritual harvest. Continue to do that work, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back. I will give them back their microphone. But I hope you got a flavour of what God is doing. And many years ago, I went out with a man called Chris. Chris had his own problems, but he came out there and he started to do some work. And he got blessed and he became a blessing. Sadly, he's not here with us anymore in the natural. He's at home with the Father. But it just goes to show that nothing in life is wasted.